What is going on, everyone, and welcome back to episode number 2 of Travel with Josh and Taylor, the travel podcast, and we've made it back for a second week.
We almost did it, but we did.
We're in different positions.
Yes.
You know, as we get this thing going, we're going to figure out kind of...
We'll probably move to different places multiple different times until we figure out what we like.
I think so. I got an eyelash in my eye. Yeah. Anyways, so welcome back. A little different as I try to figure out how I want to sit to be comfortable.
Yeah, make sure you get those slippers in the shot.
Yeah, I know, right? These are actually pretty comfy. I got them from Walmart. So,
yeah, you did.
They are nice. So, yeah, we are back. And this week talking about, we were trying to figure out what we were going to talk about. And I guess Taylor said something about the med.
So, well, I think we mentioned that last week about how I was looking back through podcast episodes that haven't been consistent since probably 2021.
Probably somewhere around there.
Something like that. And so I was like, oh, well, like what trips haven't we done like a talking podcast episode about? And that's pretty much all of them. So we just talked about our most recent Alaska trip. So we did go on an Alaskan cruise back in 2022. And we did a lot of videos from that. But we had a lot of videos from our Mediterranean cruise, but then never really did like a recap episode talking about, you know, what we did, what we liked about it, what we didn't like about it, if there was something we'd do different. I told you to like look up questions before this one, and I don't think you did that.
I mean, I could do it real quick while we're sitting here.
Yeah, I guess you could.
Yeah, so I don't think today's not going to be like, I think it'll just be kind of a brief overview because the med was 10 days or something like that.
No, it was 11 nights.
11, and then we went 11 days, 10 nights?
No.
11
it
nights.
Was 11 night.
12 days.
Norwegian calls them 11 day, but if you look at it, it's 11 nights. And then because they don't really count the last day because you're getting off the ship. But technically we had a day in Venice after the cruise. Because this one that's coming up on this summer, our Iceland cruise, it's a 10 night. But it's actually, it's a 10 day, but it's actually 10 nights that we stay on the ship.
Yeah. I don't know. Norwegian likes to do things differently. They make things complicated.
They just word it a little different and sometimes it makes it a little confusing, but it's like technically 10 nights, I'm pretty sure. So, but yes, our Mediterranean cruise was an 11 night cruise out of Barcelona, Spain.
Yeah, and it was great.
Yeah, we cruised through the Mediterranean, and we finished in Venice, Italy, which is way up around...
Technically, we finished in Trieste or whatever.
We did technically finish in
Trieste. And I think that is
Barcelona
actually...
Barcelona was technically the port, which was really crazy because they will a lot of times say, like, the port is Orlando. The port is an hour plus from Orlando.
Yeah, I think it's important to note, too, in this discussion because... they advertise this cruise as ending in Venice, and it does not. So the cruise ship is probably too big to get into Venice. I think they used to allow maybe some ships near there, but I don't know that for sure. I'm sure somebody can correct me on that. But this does not. This particular one that we did, and it's important that you take a look at that, did not end in Venice. It is actually like
two and a half to three hours. I think we took, it was at least
ride.
A 2 hour train ride to get there.
And I should have asked Bryson to see what the bus ride was like.
Oh yeah. Well, the thing was, I mean, we'll get to like the end of the trip, but like, this is something really to do research on or a reason why you should use a travel agent because they would like relay this information to you because there's a lot of people that were probably like, and I know there were people that did this because we've talked about this before, like Facebook groups for your specific cruise. There were a bunch of people in there. We didn't know them. But there were people in there that were like literally on like the next to last day and even on the day disembarking the ship were like, I think I'm going to miss my flight because I'm just now realizing that the airport is over 2 hours away from the cruise port and my flight's at 10 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
Like, you're not going to make that flight.
Yeah. Which comes into a perfect segue into using a travel agent. So if you're looking to book your next destination vacation, you can head on over to goldgogetaways.com. Or if you're interested in booking a trip with Taylor, because I will not book personal trips. I only handle the group stuff. You can send Taylor an email at taylor@goldgogetaways.com. So with that being said, it's really smart to use a travel agent and understand the situation that you're coming into, because we had a lot of people, yeah, that, like Taylor said, they had no idea. And the other aspect of that too was that some of them, I think, booked their own flights but then used Norwegian's transportation, which is bus, and that's what Bryson and Crystal used to get from the port to wherever the airport was at. And
I think there is an airport in Trieste.
There is, yeah.
But a lot of people were flying out of Venice.
Yes.
Because they just thought. It actually says on the itinerary, Trieste/Venice.
Right.
So those people were just not doing the research to see that the cruise actually ended in Trieste, which is the closest large cruise port to Venice.
Yeah. So some things to think about, and we'll discuss probably some of those too as we kind of reminisce here a little bit and do kind of like a quick overview today. And then I think maybe we could take some podcast episodes to like dive deep into some of the ports.
Because there were a few really awesome days on that trip.
Yeah. And I think the other thing too is I think that I want to talk about is that we really didn't do a lot of stuff with Norwegian.
We didn't.
And I'd love to have Bryson come back on to talk about some of their excursions, because they did do a few excursions through Norwegian.
They did more than we did.
Yeah, it was their first time on a cruise line that wasn't Disney.
Yep.
Their first time basically out of the country for the most part. Not Crystal.
Not Crystal, but right. Bryson.
But as like a vacationary thing, you know, first time out. And I think what was really nice, and Bryson had mentioned this to me, and he'll correct me if I'm incorrect on this, but he felt more comfortable because this was a group trip, right? This was our third group cruise. Yes,
third
group cruise. And I think that was something that he felt more comfortable with, because he knew that like there will be other people there that he can interact with and chat with and talk to. And you know, if he wants to go out into the out like we did without Norwegian, we'll be all together to go do that stuff. So, which is another thing.
And they did that a few times, but they did do a lot of Norwegian excursions.
Yeah. And there's nothing wrong with that. You know, I like the freedom sometimes.
It's just what you want to do with your trip.
Sure.
You can go on a cruise anywhere, and you can do an excursion every single day with the cruise line. Or you can do every single day on your own, get off the ship and go explore, or you can book third-party excursions, or you can do a little bit of both. And that's kind of what we did. I think we only technically booked two excursions through Norwegian, and every other day on the cruise, we went off by ourselves.
Yeah.
We even booked a third-party day out on two yachts.
In Corfu, yeah.
In Greece.
Which was nice.
That was awesome.
So I think today we'll talk a little bit about maybe just cruising through the Med, some of the things that you can look forward to, and some things to think about when planning a trip to the Mediterranean. I know that we have not been on several Mediterranean cruises. We have been on two, which I'm proud to say, because
I guess technically we have been
MSC,
on two.
That was a Mediterranean cruise.
It was a Greek Isles cruise.
It was still Mediterranean though. And I think that's really important, because the Mediterranean is so large. It's like the Caribbean.
It's very large. Right? There's a lot of countries you can visit.
And the Caribbean, you have Eastern sailings, you have Western sailings, you have Southern sailings, and you could even wrap in the Bahamas a little bit with that.
Yeah.
And Florida. So the Mediterranean has Western Mediterranean, Eastern Mediterranean, the Greek Isles, you know, so there's a lot of variety there for you to choose from.
Yep.
I was trying to give Taylor an opportunity because it looked like she had something that she was going to say.
No, I was just listening to what you had to say.
So I do want to mention this. This is a question that is being asked a lot right now because of the climate, politics. Right, not weather, which is also a problem. But
I continue to live my life regardless.
Yeah, so, and I think that this actually falls back to our first Med cruise, which was only about a month and a half before we did the one in August, this group cruise, which is the Mediterranean safe? You got to get up?
I got the lipstick on.
All right, well, while Taylor's doing that, is the Mediterranean safe to be cruising through right now? And You know, the honest answer is yes. I think that it is. I would absolutely book another Mediterranean cruise right now if we could. If we found a really great deal and the flights are really cheap, hands down, we'll do another one. What's really great about cruise lines in general, and this applies to basically anywhere around the world, is that they will do what is necessary to change up the itinerary, move the ship around, first and foremost, because they don't want to have to give you money back. I know that sounds maybe like kind of, I don't know, like, you know, they don't want to give you money back, but like, they
sorry, want my lips were pale, so I had to put some lip gloss
you're,
on.
You're fine. But they also want you to be on the ship and they want you to spend money because that's how they make money, right? So when there are political things going on in the atmosphere of today, right, which is like Israel and things like that, a lot of ships just aren't going into Israel. They're staying away from that area. And so they just modify the itinerary.
Yeah. And most of the time, you know, your travel agent will send you information like, hey, this is what's going on in the area, just so you are aware. The cruise line has not changed anything in their itineraries. Just something to think about and, you know, for you to be able to make your own decisions.
Sure.
So I know, like, a lot of our agents are really good about keeping their clients updated about what's going on in the world. And really the thing is, like, don't just read a news article that you see on Facebook or a video that you see on TikTok and use that as your decision or as a factor to make a decision about a trip,
right?
Whether it's safe or not. Go and actually to like a government website that is giving the factual, objective information and not like this side or this side,
right,
giving you their opinion of what is happening.
Yeah, it's a fair point to make, because when we were doing the first med cruise with Marianne and her fam, the Rowdy
Crowd. You keep
crowd,
calling it a med cruise, and I keep getting so confused, because to me it was a Greek cruise.
Okay, let's call it MSC cruise. So when we did our MSC cruise, which was starting in Israel and ending in Israel, and hitting some of the Greek islands and Turkey, when we were planning that, which we planned last minute, as we started to get closer to it,
we were like a month out.
Yeah, there was, you know, some of the activity in Israel was starting to pick back up. And of course, a lot of things get polarized, which is unfortunate, but you have to, I think, obviously make a reasonable decision of what is safe for you. And if you don't feel safe, then that's perfectly fine and just don't go, you know. But also, I think, really dive deep into it and see if it is being polarized or not. So when all that stuff was happening, it looked really bad from the outside. But as you kind of like got into like looking at some of the other stuff, it wasn't really something that was what it is now. Now, what it is now, I would not
do
it.
No, I would not go now. But when we went,
yeah, it was perfectly fine.
We had no issues.
Right.
Never once did we feel uncomfortable or unsafe while we were there. Some things you just have to keep in mind when you go to other countries, not just Israel. Sometimes their military police and their police are just different than what you see in the U.S.
Yeah.
You're not going to just see a guard outside the door with like a belt on with their, you know, their tools that they bring around with them.
Yeah.
Like, you're going to see military grade weapons being carried around by the police,
heavy
by
hitters.
The military police, like,
yeah.
So when you see them, you can't be alarmed, because that is just normal for them to just be walking around in the city.
Right.
Because that's just how they do it there.
Yeah.
It's different. So you just kind of have to get in your mind like what to expect and set your expectations that way and not expect it to be like you're going into Orlando and that's what it's going to be like. Like,
yeah.
That's just not how it works.
And I think, again, it's perspective, again, is just making sure, like, if you're going to do something, and we'll talk more about this a lot, but if you're going to do something like an excursion or go out and do a tour, you need to make sure that you're doing it with somebody reputable.
Yes.
You know, when we flew into Israel back
in
May.
This is supposed to be our Mediterranean from August cruise, and we're, like, talking so much about that person.
I meant,
no,
like,
it's
you
just,
know,
it's so funny.
Yeah.
Just, you're good. It's just funny.
But it's like when we were going to fly into Israel, this was in May, because this was over our wedding anniversary.
Oh my gosh, I forgot it was. Yeah.
You know, I kind of looked at it as like, Because Marianne and her kids were like kind of like getting worried, like, maybe we should cancel and rebook something else. And I said, listen, I'm like, we're going to be in Israel for like 5 minutes. Literally, we're getting in, we're landing.
Embarkation day.
We're taking the train, we're going up to the port, and we're getting on the ship. So, like, our exposure is very limited. That doesn't mean that something can't happen.
Oh, yeah.
You know, but I'm like, you know what? This is a once in a lifetime type of trip.
Literally once in a lifetime. Never thought we would ever. Yeah. Be going there.
And so we did it. And I think that carries over into what we're talking about with the rest of the Med on, let's say, the Epic or Norwegian or NCL, is the fact that, like, while there was nothing politically motivated going on, there are still a lot of inherent risks that come with traveling out and about.
Think about living in the United States currently,
right?
You just never know when something's going to happen. And it's literally the exact same if you go to another country. You could be perfectly safe, or you just never know what could happen.
Right.
So something that we talk about a lot is that we just don't want to live in fear. We want to live our lives. Obviously, if something is really unsafe... and we are seeing that from reputable sources, not from somebody's Facebook post on the internet.
Yeah.
Of course, we are going to make decisions based on that and maybe not go somewhere for right now.
Right.
But we want to see places. We want to travel. We're not going to sit at home and cower in fear because...
Right. Yeah, I think two places...
Whatever's going on somewhere.
Two places at the moment that I'm probably not going to travel to... at the moment would be China and Russia. You just never know. As a vlogger, right, carrying around a camera, it just draws a lot of attention. It could be a problem. So something we'll probably put a pin in
just
for right
American
now.
American in general.
Right.
Because
Hong Kong, like
apparently we do things a certain way, but also in China, we would be very recognizable as
Yeah, if we did like people. if we did something like that, it would be with like Globus, like
a
verified tour company, you know. Yeah. So, but yeah. So, anyways, talking about the Med, is it safe? I think it's perfectly safe. Just you need to have your head on your shoulders, be aware of your surroundings. Pickpocketing is a huge thing in Europe.
Do some research before you go. Like that's always important.
So
But pickpocketing is the one thing. Fortunately, none of us on our trip had anything taken from us. Nobody ever seemed to be at risk for being pickpocketed. In Rome and Barcelona, they actually say it's like a huge problem. If you've ever been on TikTok, you've probably seen the pickpocket lady.
Yeah, I was hoping to see her. We never did.
We really were. Everywhere we went, we were like, well, maybe she like went somewhere else, or just somebody like that. But it's just something to keep in mind. Don't put stuff in your back pocket. Don't put money or your phone in your front pocket. Like I don't have it on my phone right now, but I have a little like leash that I have on my phone case so that it's attached to my wrist, but then it's also being held in my hand.
Yeah.
And then I wear like a little, what do they call them now?
Like fanny pack?
Yeah, but they don't call them a fanny pack anymore.
Who knows what I don't know.
Bum bag, crossbody, whatever you want to call them. I wear one of those like so that it is on the front of me. I can see the pockets. I have the zippers so that stuff wouldn't be able to fall out of my bag. You can even get lock things for your zippers so that they're stuck together and can't be unzipped. There's a lot of special bags and wallets and FID blockers and stuff like that you can get if that's something you feel like you need. We did have cash, but we kept it a little bit separate. Josh had some and I had some.
Yeah.
That way, if something happened, we didn't lose everything. And we still had, like, I had my cards and Josh had his cards. So we'd still be able to get money and just, like, cancel the other person's stuff if something happened to it.
Yeah.
But, yeah. So Barcelona was our... where we flew into.
Yeah, it was our embarkation. And I think one thing that we definitely did not touch on a lot more in our videos, because I didn't really want to, like, drag on too much about it. I didn't feel like it was really necessarily a part of embarkation, but was our buy one, get one flights. So if you're looking to save money.
I think that is something important to address because I feel like there was a lot of negativity in the news about that not too long ago.
Right.
But that's because people didn't do their research.
Right.
And it was their own fault.
Yeah. So our flights that we did for this Med Cruise were BOGO flights with Norwegian Cruise Line, which means that we only paid I want to say like $1,200 total. That's total. Not a piece, not one way, each way, whatever, like total. So if you break that down, that's $600 round trip for Taylor and I each, or $300
per flight, per flight
each way, which is, I mean, dirt cheap. Now, with that being said,
especially flying into one place and coming home from another.
Right.
That's a big, that increases the price of flights significantly. Right.
And that's a big problem. You know, if you're trying to stay on a budget and you want to do a cruise that starts in one place and ends in another place, airlines are going to charge you more for that one-way trip. Why?
Yeah, because it's not considered a round trip if it's not from the same place.
Right. I mean, even if you're, you know, you could, I think another option that we could have done if we really wanted to was to like book our own flights, but you know, maybe fly into Barcelona, do the trip, go to Venice, and then like somehow go back to Barcelona. I mean, that's kind of silly, but so it's expensive, it was not expensive.
No, having not the BOGO flights.
But the trade-off is that when you're using
this, you get what you pay for.
Exactly. And that is, Norwegian allows you to request an airline. It's not guaranteed. And they tell you that you may have up to, but no more than two connections. And you don't get to pick beforehand, like where the seats are at or anything like that, or business class, first class, nothing like that. These are literally just tickets on the plane. And, you know, so I put a request in for Delta. We like flying Delta. We find them to be very reliable. You may not think so. That's fine. That's your business. But we like Delta. So we were very fortunate. We got Delta. And because we're in Orlando, we did actually have to still make a connection. So now, if we flew out of Miami or JFK,
would have been fine.
Atlanta,
yeah,
it would have probably been a direct flight. And so you have to be aware that with those connections, they're not always the best connections. And that is not the cruise line's fault.
It is not. It is the airline that chooses that.
I can get on and book the flights that Norwegian selected right through Delta. It's Delta's choice to say, hey, here's a flight plan that you can do where you have 50 minutes to make a connection at a major international airport, and then God forbid something goes wrong on your first leg because you might be screwed. Which
I was literally having a panic attack in the airport.
Taylor was literally crying on the plane.
Our flight got delayed because of bad weather over Atlanta.
Yeah.
But the other thing with the Norwegian flights is, so, yeah, you get what you pay for, whatever. But we got lucky. We got on Delta flights. We were able to pick our seats. We had one checked bag, one personal item, and one carry-on item, all included in the price.
Yep.
In that $1,200-ish dollars total for the two of us for round-trip flights, or whatever, flights there and home. I forget what I was going to say.
I don't know where you're going with that. We still did get to pick our seats.
Yeah, I said we got to pick our seats.
Yeah.
But you also, you can pick how many days before, up to 2 days before, and two days after to come home.
Right.
So we chose to fly 2 days before, which got us there one whole day before. Because when you're flying through different time zones and stuff, things get a little shifted around. So we were in Barcelona. We had one whole day in Barcelona before we got on the cruise the next day.
Right.
So that is something else important. If you're choosing these flights, don't choose to fly in the same day as the cruise because then you might end up missing. There were so many people that booked their own flights and that booked Norwegian's flights that chose to fly in the day of the cruise, like the day you got on the cruise.
And
there was a ton of people that missed the ship. They had to find another flight to get to another port to then get on the ship.
Yeah, I think the other thing too is Norwegian. Now, this is Norwegian's fault a little bit, and the fact that they do not publicly advertise that ability to shift those flights around a little bit, especially when you're booking directly through Norwegian. So,
but that's also just part of like doing a little bit of research.
Absolutely, 100%
before your trip. Like
100%.
If you're investing that much, like the flight part of it was only $1,200, but the cruise itself was expensive. Plus, you're paying money for excursions or just going to those destinations. Like, you're putting a lot of money and your time in, you know, taking time off work or whatever to go on this trip. Like, do the research and don't wait till last minute, because if things go wrong, it's probably something you could have researched earlier and could have avoided.
Yeah. And the other thing, too, is obviously
just ask somebody, if you know somebody that travels or whatever, ask them or
right.
ask your Gold Girl Getaways travel agent exactly. because I'm telling you, they know.
Yeah. And,
they know their stuff.
The other thing too is with a trip like this, you 100% need to have some type of trip insurance, whether it's through the cruise line or a third party or something like that. It really should be required. Of course it's not, but it really should be. If something happened, like for Taylor and I,
nine times out of 10, those are the people that don't have it. Are right. the ones that end up having the problems and right. then are mad because they're out all this money.
Right.
But if they would have just had trip insurance, they would yeah. have got and almost all of it back.
I told Taylor, too, when we were flying out from Orlando to Atlanta to get to Barcelona, and I was like, if we miss this flight, it's okay. We have insurance already for the cruise. I bought additional insurance through Delta because you could still do that even after they booked the flights for you. So, you know, if something happened and we missed this flight.
And there was still another flight from Atlanta to Barcelona that night.
There were several flights. Yeah. So if something happened, we would be fine because we're at a major Delta hub, which is Atlanta. So
and we were flying 2 days before the cruise exactly. started.
So, but yeah, so I don't want to dwell on that too much or beat it into the ground, but you know,
we can go on and on and on and on about
right,
that.
Right. Just something to consider. So getting into Barcelona, mm-hmm. We had the day to explore. I felt like we didn't do as much as we probably could have, but I think we still got to see quite a bit. And I think the other big part for us too,
we saw the main things we wanted to see yeah, there.
I think the big thing for me too was just getting to see everybody again. So
yeah, that was really fun.
It was kind of funny because leading up to that trip that year, we had done some other trips beforehand where we saw some of our friends who were going on that trip.
Yeah.
And it became this thing of like, oh, we'll see you in Barcelona.
And then right? a couple months later, we would see them again.
Right. But then, you know, but that was unexpected. But then it would be like, yeah. you know, we'll see. Because it's really, it's kind of funny, but it's really cool to be able to say that. Like, yeah, you know, like you know, see you next time, right?
Yeah.
But when you can say that you're going to see somebody specifically in a specific place.
And it happens to be another country.
Right. It's pretty cool.
It's crazy.
Yeah. It's pretty cool. So, yeah, Barcelona, again, a really great city. I think easy to get around either by the metro or by taxi.
I think that's the thing I love the most about the couple times we've now been over in, like, Europe.
Right.
Europe as the continent, because we've also been to the United Kingdom, but that's not part of the EU anymore.
Right.
I love the transportation. It is so much better. If you can just buy a train ticket for the day and just like go a bunch of different places, it is so much easier. Right. Or even if you're just buying a ticket that's like a one-way train ticket, it takes 2 seconds to buy it.
Yeah.
And then you go get on the train. Like,
yeah.
It's super easy. And train tickets aren't that expensive.
Very convenient. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just got to watch out for the pickpocketers. So we feel we definitely noticed one when we were down in the metro station.
Oh, yeah, in Barcelona.
In Barcelona with Alan and Lisa. But,
yeah.
you know, it's just being aware of your surroundings. So this trip was 11 days. This trip was 11 days.
11 nights.
11 nights.
On the ship.
On the ship. 12 days of cruising. 11 days of cruising. Whatever. This was a long trip.
It was a long trip.
Inevitably, for Taylor and I, it ended up being at least 2 weeks, 14 days, I think.
Yeah, with before and after and everything else.
With flights and everything else. So there were a lot of places to see. And I think if you're thinking about doing a Mediterranean cruise, you need to consider two things. One is, what is the objective? Are you there to, like, see Europe? Or are you mostly there to, like, maybe just see highlights and relax on the ship? Because that is a really good way to look at if a Mediterranean cruise is expensive or not for you. That's another really like popular question that people ask is, you know, how much does it cost? And it's going to vary. And I think that this comes back to Disney. Like if you're on a budget, there's no point in staying. Like if you're on a, I shouldn't say if you're on a budget. If you're looking to be frugal, which doesn't necessarily mean that you're on a budget, but you're just frugal with your money, right? You want to spend it wisely. When you go to Disney, if you're planning to rope drop and stay there till the end of the night, it doesn't normally make sense to stay in a deluxe hotel. You should stay in like a value because you're not there. You're just there to lay your head down at night. And I think that that applies to really any vacation and definitely Europe. The Norwegian Epic was still a really great ship. I wouldn't sail it again. I think the vast majority of everybody in our group said that they would not sail it again. Still a great ship. But I think at the end of the day, it was another place for us to lay our head down. And that's same thing with MSC.
And to get a shower every afternoon when we got back on the ship because also we were true. So sweaty.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, and the same thing with MSC, dirt cheap cruise for 7 nights. The ship wasn't great. The service was okay for us. I mean, Europeans, I think, may have loved it. But again, it was a place for us to lay our heads down at night so that we could go out and explore those destinations. And I think that's what you need to ask yourself. Take advantage of a longer sailing that's cheaper. If you're really interested in just going out and exploring the ports,
get an inside stateroom.
Yeah.
Save some money.
Oh, absolutely.
And spend all your time off the ship. I mean, we all got balconies, but yeah. Like... whatever, we're spoiled. We feel like we need to have a balcony for some reason. I'm looking at you,
it's
Josh.
It's a group cruise. We can get a really great, favorable rate on Norwegian with an ocean view balcony, and you get all four things of the free at sea. If you only book an inside, you only get two.
You're right.
So, you know, everybody wants
that. But if you're planning on spending a lot of time off the ship, it's just something to consider.
Absolutely.
There's just a lot of things to think about when you're planning a trip, and that's why... last minute vacations are starting to you're starting to see that less and less because people want to go on a longer trip, and to go on a longer trip, sometimes there's just not the availability, and it's going to be more expensive the closer you wait until the dates to book it. So the further in advance you book, the cheaper it's going to be, the more options you're going to have, and the more planning you can do in advance, and the more saving you can do of your money, so that way you have extra cash to spend once you get there, and instead of all the stuff that you're spending on before.
Right. Yeah. And again, all is going to come down to personal preference. And if you've never done one before, I understand that it's a little difficult to make that decision. But again, reach out to GoGo Getaways and get a travel agent who can help you with those decisions, right? Yep. It's important. And you're spending money anyways, whether it's a little or a lot, right? It's your money and, you know, you should have some value over it. So,
yeah. And that's the thing. Like, if you're planning on going a place like this, unless you're like a college student that just really does not have money to spend.
Right.
You really have to think about, yes, okay, this is a lot of money, but what's the value I'm getting for this? Because if you're spending, like Josh was saying with Disney World, you're spending $10,000 to stay in a deluxe resort for a week, and then you're barely in the room because you're rope dropping to park close every single night. Right. You just wasted your money by staying in that deluxe resort.
Right.
Some people like to do that, though, and that's totally fine. And some people have DVC that they can do that as well. But if you're going on a trip and you want to use your money a little more wisely and you want to get a better value, that's what the value and moderate resorts are for. You can spend a little less money to stay at those hotels. It's like the same thing on any trip you go on. What value are you getting for it? Not, I'm looking for the cheapest cruise. You might not have the best experience if you're looking for the cheapest.
Right.
You want to look, what's my best value?
Yeah. So I think, and looking at the
I think we had a good value because of all the destinations we got to go to.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. And that's what I was about to say is that when you're thinking about your med cruise or doing a Mediterranean cruise and what to do, you know, I would really advise you to look for something that has overnights. I think that was
part of our cruise. That was fantastic.
Right.
We had two overnights and that was the best thing. So our itinerary for the cruise, just to, if you have not had a chance to watch the videos yet, or if you just don't remember, we embarked right in Barcelona. It was actually in Barcelona. We went to, somebody made fun of me, but Cannes, France. I don't know how to pronounce it otherwise. I'm not French. Cannes, France, Pisa, Italy, or Livorno.
That was Livorno.
It was Livorno, Italy. We went to Pisa.
Which was our first overnight.
Overnight, yep. And we had Livorno again the next day. And then the next day was Rome or Civitavecchia, which was about an hour from Rome. So something you have to plan for.
Right.
So we had another overnight right then in Civitavecchia. So we went to Rome for a day. And then the next day I was exhausted because those first couple days, it was so hot because it was still summertime in Italy, and in the Mediterranean, that is a hot time. Yep. So I spent the day on the ship. Josh went out and explored some other town. They took a train ride 2 hours away. And they made it back in time, no problem.
Yep.
And then
Next, I think, was Naples.
Was it Naples? I think so.
Naples and Sorrento.
Yes, Naples, and then Messina.
Yep.
And then Corfu, Greece.
Yep.
Montenegro.
Yep.
Split Croatia.
And that was it. And then
we finished Trieste. In Venice, Italy.
Trieste,
not Venice.
Yeah.
We went to Venice from Trieste.
But those overnights are huge, I think, are a huge opportunity for you to really be able to go out and explore.
The one couple in our group, so they actually did two things on the two overnights. So we all went to Pisa together on our first day in Livorno, and we were all beat, but they really wanted to get steak Florentine. So they stayed in Florence after Pisa. We all went to Florence. They stayed in Florence and had dinner, and we all went back to the ship because we were exhausted. And then the next 2 days later in Rome, they actually packed a bag and took with them.
Yeah.
And they stayed the night in Rome because our ship was staying overnight. So, and that does not change.
I would love to have
overnight in Rome.
I'd love to have her back. Not back.
Christina.
I'd love to have Christina on to talk about that day and their kind of like overnight thing. Because the other thing about them too, which I think is,
I think it was an Airbnb they booked.
Yeah. Maybe. I don't know, because they were looking at hotels, but maybe it did end up being an Airbnb.
Something.
But she had wanted AC and she wanted a tub that, you know, was...
She just wanted a bathtub. She wanted to be able to... This was like the first trip they had taken without their kids and I don't know.
They were looking for like relaxation.
They wanted relaxation and just not to have to worry about anything.
She got neither...
Which they were doing that on the cruise, but like you...
Yeah.
A cruise ship bathtub is not something you can really relax in if you have one, so...
But she got neither of those. So she so whatever she booked...
It was really disappointing.
They told her they was there, that she gets there, they go to the...
She
room,
even called there. To confirm that it was going to be there, and they said it would, and then they got there, there was no air conditioning, there was a shower, no bathtub.
So unfortunate, but... Yeah,
I mean, they still said it was cool to like stay and be in Rome at night. And
I think you can, you know, obviously you can definitely go out and do excursions. Livorno, the first day in Livorno, which where most of us as a group went out to Pisa, was actually the day where Bryson and Crystal went and did their own excursion with Norwegian. So they bust them out basically to Pisa and. Florence. Yeah, sorry. I don't know why I just had a brain thing there. But so they had transportation that was provided on the bus. And the only difference between what they did and what we did was that we had a little bit more walking and we took the train. But, you know, we only spent like maybe $8 round trip throughout the day for the train tickets per person. You know, the bus transportation, again, a nice safety net, I think, to feel comfortable in was expensive. I think it was like, man, it must have been like $150 per person.
At least, like minimum.
Yeah.
The one, it's like you're paying a convenience fee sometimes for the excursions.
Yeah.
I mean, you really are because you don't necessarily have front of the line access, but sometimes the bus can drop you off right at the destination, where with us, the train station sometimes was like a 10-minute walk to get there. So, yes, we may have had a little bit more inconvenience and had to walk a little bit more. I'll tell you what, we got like 20,000 plus steps every single day on this trip. But we wanted to spend our money on other things, so we saved by just going out on our own.
Yeah. And I think, too, you know...
I think it was really fun that way, too, though.
The funny thing is...
There was less pressure, like...
There was a lot less pressure on needing to meet deadlines for the most part, except for Rome, which we'll talk about later. But, you know, I think what was really great was that even if when I made a mistake, because, like, I'm kind of like the tour operator for the group. So when I do make a mistake, which happened to be that day in Pisa, we got off the wrong train station. So... We got to Pisa.
Nobody knew that. Alan and Lisa are used to riding trains.
Right.
And like they didn't even notice. Right. That was nobody's fault.
But essentially, you know, what we could have done was when we got to the main station in Pisa, we could have gotten onto another train that would have taken us closer to the tower, which was really only about a 5-minute walk, and we ended up, you know, admittedly walking probably about 20 minutes from the main station.
I saw a guy urinating in public at that train station.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, but those instances, I think when those things happen, it gives us a story to talk about later on. And we do see things that happen sometimes or something, you know, it's, yeah, sometimes in the moment it stinks a little bit, but I think it also just gives us the opportunity to have something.
He was far enough away. It was fine.
Yeah.
I was just like, okay.
No, that wasn't at the main station. That was at that small station.
That was at the small station. That's what I said.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't really say that, but that's what I thought you were talking about, the other small station.
Yeah,
that's why I brought it up.
Yeah, because now I remember, I'm like, oh, yeah, that guy was...
Yeah, he was like over by like a wall.
Right there.
Yeah. I don't know if that's like frowned upon in Europe, but that guy was doing it.
He was doing it. He was he was going right into it. So yeah. I think the other thing, too, is what I would encourage everybody... is to try something new and different. Like, I know that you're already doing something new. You're already doing something different because you're in Europe and you're on a med cruise. But go out and eat some of the local cuisine and try to eat away from the touristy blocks of places, you know, if you can, right? I understand if you don't feel safe, obviously then don't go very far out. But, you know, find something that's a little bit different. We had really great carbonara.
It was delicious. So and it was actually kind of in the touristy area.
Yeah, it was a little overpriced but
it was a little overpriced, but the food was really good. And we did look up reviews and it did have good reviews.
Yeah.
That was one thing that we like tried to check when we were going up to a place. Like, does this place actually have good food, or like, is it just convenient because it's really close to the like tourist area?
Right.
But the carbonara was delicious. And one thing... I think I've mentioned this in a video or something at some point in time. Something we like to do is try food from that specific country or city or whatever.
We probably talked about it in our Patreon podcast.
Oh, maybe we did. Maybe that's what I'm thinking of, because we do have a Patreon exclusive podcast, which we do need to record an episode of that as well. but I know exactly what we can talk about in that.
Okay.
Our upcoming stuff. So we try to taste food and order food that is from that country or region or city or whatever. So like when we were in Greece, we tried to eat food that was from Greece. Something Josh loved was this was not on this trip, but he had, grape leaves like wrapped around rice. Remember the grape leaves?
That was on
the other MSC. Cruise. I said that.
Yeah. Sorry.
But you really liked that.
I loved it. It was fantastic.
And when we were in Turkey, we had a traditional Turkish dish to eat.
Yeah.
And we had apple tea. That's like a big thing in Turkey is apple tea.
Yeah.
And so then on this trip, everywhere we went, we tried to make sure we had something that was like from there. So when we were in Barcelona, we made sure we had tapas. We had... churros. We made sure we had churros.
Yeah,
sangria.
That was
because
good.
Sangria is one of the cocktails that comes from Spain.
Right.
So that was really cool to like be in Spain eating that.
Technically,
food.
For sangria, it has to be made with all ingredients from Spain.
From Spain or Portugal?
Portugal. That's right. Yes. Yeah.
That includes the fruit and wine the liqueur, everything that's in it.
We learned that while we were in Spain.
We learned that in Sangria University at Disney World. So yeah. I don't know. I don't think Josh recorded a video from that, but I have a reel that I will eventually get around to making because I'm still working on those. My long list.
Could be a good podcast episode we should talk about. It's just extracurricular activities in Disney World that don't involve...
Yeah.
Well, some of them would involve a theme park, but anyways.
No, but continue we can talk on about some of those.
Different things that we were eating.
Then when we were in France, but we were in Cannes. That's like a very popular destination because they have the film festival there every single year. And I think is there an awards that happens there too, or is it just the film festival?
I don't know.
Probably. I don't know. There's a lot of stuff that happens there. But we had a croque monsieur, our ham and cheese sandwich there, because that's like a French food to eat. Yeah. We also had, I can't ever pronounce it right.
While we are trying to try local cuisine, we're doing the touristy side of the local cuisine.
We are, but like, But we're not doing cool it. Is that? Right.
We're not doing it
to eat the food that we eat in the U.S. Right. But where it actually came from.
But we are trying to eat at local family-run businesses, not at
big restaurants. Yeah, we're trying not to do chains.
Right.
However,
like we could have went to some Gordon Ramsay restaurant, probably in Barcelona or not that there is one, but you know what I mean.
But something to consider when you do go to another country, you gotta go to McDonald's because McDonald's has different menus.
So you can stand in line for 25 minutes waiting for your French fries.
We did not do that in Israel. Israel has the best McDonald's chicken nuggets.
They do have really good ones.
Yeah. They have the best McDonald's chicken nuggets. There was a guy. Where was the guy next to us from? That sat next to us in that McDonald's.
Oh, I don't remember.
Was he from Central America?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Nick.
Yeah. There was a guy that sat next to us in Israel at McDonald's, and he heard us speaking English, so he started talking to us.
Yeah.
And he was like, he's like, oh, where are you guys from? I'm like, oh, well, we're from Florida. And he's like, oh, I completely forget where he said he's from, but he's from like Central America. And he's like, I've had McDonald's in like all these different countries, and he's like naming all these places. He's like, I've had it in the U.S., like everywhere. He's like, these are the best chicken nuggets I've ever had. He's like, this is what somebody told me I had to get when I came to Israel, was chicken nuggets at McDonald's.
And they were good.
And the best food, this is on my list of best food I ever ate. The hummus in Israel is top that was notch. Good.
We're getting sidetracked slightly.
I can't help it because we never did a podcast episode about that either.
We'll talk about that too. I made the comment about French fries. Tyler and Caitlin will know because they wanted to get French fries.
That was in Cannes, and they wanted to get
French fries.
Wanted to get French fries.
But they're different. They're not
They are. They're French not fries. The same traditional McDonald's French fry. Whatever. Yeah. And they ended up not being able to get them. They never.
They
came
just
out.
Never came out.
They
yeah.
just never came out. So we had macarons.
We had macarons, that day as well.
It was delicious. Oh my gosh, it was so good.
We had pizza at multiple places along the trip.
We did have pizza. We tried to
Sorrento was really good pizza.
Sorrento is home of margarita pizza.
Right.
So we had margarita pizza in Sorrento. Yeah. We also had a limoncello spritz because limoncello...
I didn't like those that much.
Lemons are like...
They're like the
Sorrento
fruit.
Is like...
Yeah.
The fruit of Sorrento is lemon.
Yeah.
So there's lemon everything. All the stores have lemon stuff in them.
Yep.
So you have to get limoncello there. So we got limoncello spritz and margarita pizza for our lunch that day. We had Aperol spritz the whole entire trip because we were in Italy. Josh did not like them. And I told him before he ordered it, he was not going to like it because it's a little bitter.
Tastes like Beverly.
But whatever. It actually kind of does, which is funny because that is that's Italy's Coca-Cola beverage that they don't make anymore.
They don't make it anymore, though.
You can only get it in Disney World.
But I mean, we had pizza in multiple places. We had pasta in multiple places. And it was, I really don't think that there was ever a place that wasn't good.
I tried to get a different style pizza and a different style of pasta every, city that we went to just to make sure I wasn't eating, a margarita pizza every time, or a pepperoni pizza every time,
and I think too,
spaghetti.
And again, it comes
with
back
sauce every time.
It comes back to just try to step outside of your comfort zone. When Tyler and I, when we were in Livorno, the arancini, that was good. That
arancini
was in Messina,
Taormina.
Yeah,
delicious.
When we were on our second day in Livorno, and Tyler and I went out to that castle.
These are
we
some
were
of the
walking
best
around.
Places.
Yeah, we were just walking through the little village. I mean, it's a little village. It is the tourists that come there are locals, from around in Italy. So
if you want good food, find a place where they don't speak English.
Yeah, and this guy really did not speak any English. And he had just this little pizza shop that was not traditional style pizzas. They were all traditional style for us as Americans.
Like the round.
Yeah, they were all basically square pan pizzas. And he had all different kinds from meat to vegetable to something else, and I went with a veggie one that had eggplant and stuff on it. I think Tyler got a meat lovers. I mean, that
probably
makes sense.
Because that's what Tyler
but it was it was absolutely fantastic, locally made right there, and it's just the one guy in there running his shop, working all by himself. He had a smile on his face, even though he didn't probably understand us and we didn't understand him, but he knew. We just pointed out he knew what we wanted. So it was really good. And again, going to come down to just deciding what kind of experience that you want to have on a med cruise, in the future.
Honestly, this like might sound kind of bad, but if you set like lower expectations.
Sure.
I'm just saying, if you set lower expectations for yourself, you're going to have an even better time when things go like even better than you expected.
Maybe a better way to put it is just to expect the unexpected. Something is going to go wrong. So then that way, you know, you can kind of look at it hopefully objectively and just be like, you know what? It's happening, but I'm still here. So we're going to find a good way to like, you know, make a good thing come out of this.
I guess maybe what I'm like thinking of, like I knew we were going to have a good time in every single port. Really what I was going in, you have to set the right expectations. You have to set the right expectations, I guess, is maybe what I mean. Not, you don't ever want to set low expectations, because then how do you even get excited for your trip? But you have to set the right expectations. It's like if you're going to a quick service restaurant, you can't expect to have.
What do you mean? I can't expect to have a medium done burger at a buffet made to order?
Exactly. If you're eating at a buffet, you can't expect that you're going to get the highest quality of food.
Unless you're paying like $120 for that buffet.
Because it's mass produced.
Right.
If you're going to quick service, you can't expect that you're going to get 5-star quality food and service because it's a quick service.
The like, burger thing's kind of an inside
you
joke.
You have to set the... It is an inside joke. You have to set the right expectations. So going into our trip for the Norwegian Epic, it wasn't the ship I was worried about. It was our room, because the rooms are designed very different than any other Norwegian ship. This was a... I think it was a French-designed ship.
I believe so.
And it is the only one that was designed this way. And the rooms were just not the most efficient. They didn't have very good space in them.
Right.
There was no actual bathroom in there. It was just like frosted glass over the by the toilet and for the shower. And so we knew that going into it. So like that did not ruin our whole trip. There were a lot of people we heard complaining about the rooms on the ship that were also American. And we're just like, but you booked this cruise.
Right.
You should have known what the rooms were going to be like.
Right.
Like, you have to set the right expectations. We knew what the room looked like going in. It did not bother us at all because we knew what it was.
Yep.
And, like, for our excursions that we booked, we knew what the excursion was before we went on it. When the days that we were going to go out, we didn't have expectations for those days.
Well,
we knew what we wanted to see.
I think we did have an experience that is well worth noting on this cruise, where somebody had really high expectations to do an excursion, and we didn't book that excursion because it sold out. And thank goodness that we didn't, because those expectations that somebody set would have set her off in a really bad way.
Yeah, we did end up having a better time than we would have if we went on the other excursion.
Yeah. We'll talk about that more later on in another podcast when we kind of dive, I think, a little bit deeper maybe into each port day or something like that. But yeah, so. Hey, I'm just saying.
You are in
trouble at first, but.
So like 6 months before the cruise, I had been saying I really wanted to go on this one excursion. I had told all of our friends about it, whatever. And I think only one other couple had booked that excursion.
Yeah.
Expecting that we were also doing that excursion.
Tyler and Caitlin.
Well, then like a month or two before, I'm like, hey, did you book that excursion, right? Because I have it in my calendar. And Josh is like, oh, crap.
This was while we were in Maine with Tyler and Caitlin.
Oh, my gosh. It was in June. Yeah, it was like a month or two before.
Yeah.
I was like, we were in the car because I freaked out.
Yeah.
Because I could not believe you didn't book it when you said you were going to.
Yeah.
And then it was sold out. And we were in the car on my birthday trip in Maine when I found out that it was sold out and we were not booked for it.
Yep.
It was to go to the Amalfi Coast. But it turns out they did not put it in the description very well. You only see the Amalfi Coast.
Barely. You just drive right through there.
Yeah, you literally drive right through. Because some of the streets are so small and because that's such a touristy area, they do not let buses stop there. to like get out and take pictures and stuff. So we actually got really lucky that we just did the Naples, like the Pompeii and Sorrento excursion,
right,
because we were able to stop in Sorrento and get off the bus and go walk around and go do, you know, we went to eat and then got right back on the bus and went over and got to go see Pompeii.
Yeah.
So we could have done that on our own, but the only thing with Naples is there's tunnels there, and apparently traffic can get really bad. So if you do go to Naples, I suggest looking into an excursion or a very reputable private tour.
Yeah.
And just make sure that you have enough time to get back from Sorrento because of the tunnels.
Right. Yeah.
And the small streets.
Yep. And it happens. Buses break down. Caitlin and Tyler, prime example. They went on that.
Bus did break down.
And it broke down. So, yeah. So it happens. But, you know, again, it's booked through the cruise line. So even if something, like, even if they were late, you know, maybe they would have had to miss Pompeii.
Yeah.
But even if, like, there was an issue getting another bus, the ship would not leave without them coming back to the ship.
Because they booked through the cruise line.
Right. So
that is key.
Yeah, so keep that in mind. So we're approaching about an hour here. Is there, I know we've kind of been all over the place a little bit with this, but, you know, just kind of getting into to the discussion of, like, you know,
so much happened on this trip,
right?
It's just, it's hard to narrow down and overview the whole thing,
right,
in like one episode.
Right. Well, that's why I said I kind of want to just like maybe just we talk briefly about the trip overall, a few highlights, which I think we hit, and just like some things that people should be aware about.
I think the biggest thing is just do research before any trip you go on. Even if you're going to Disney World and you've been there a million times, still check the park hours, still do the research, make sure the restaurants are going to be open, book reservations, like that sort of mentality. Do the research before any trip you go on. Do not book flights the same day that a cruise departs or that you're supposed to be somewhere.
Right.
Fly in at least one day before, if not a couple days before. Use that as an opportunity to explore more in the city that you're departing for your trip from.
Right.
And then your expectations. Set proper expectations. Be aware of your surroundings. Know where your stuff's at. Know which pocket you have things in. Have secret pockets in your bag so you can hide stuff, because that's what we had. And then just be a good person, because on our Naples excursion, we did experience.
We did have some really bad, angry people.
Angry lady.
Yeah, who, and it wasn't,
whose sister was apologizing for her the whole entire bus ride.
It wasn't really anybody's fault. It's just something that you can't control.
The air conditioning went out on the bus,
yeah,
and she was flipping out the whole time, acting like it was the tour guide who was not driving the bus, nor is a mechanic.
Yeah.
Was acting like it was her fault and was flipping out on the bus ride. Yeah. So
it was hot.
Just know.
But
there's nothing we could do about it. We were
it's
maybe
funny
because
we had the opposite thing happen when we were in Alaska and we went to Ketchikan.
We were cold.
Where we got a bus that the heat didn't work.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
But thank goodness nobody on there was flipping out like that lady was.
That's true.
But just be respectful of the people around you, no matter where you are, whether you're on a ship, you're in theme parks, you're out touring a city.
Yeah.
On a bus, on a train. Just keep your personal items to yourself. And be kind to other people around you, because sometimes you just never know.
Right.
Somebody else might be having a worse day than you are.
Yep. So, yeah, I think we'll dive further into our Mediterranean cruise and the experiences here over the next few weeks. So if there's something that is specific that you want to hear about from our Med Cruises, please leave them in the comments, shoot us an email or something like that.
I think we should do another episode that's just from the Greek Isles cruise.
Yeah, that's fine. We can do a couple episodes on that as well, because there's some things I think that are worth talking about in a full episode from that MSC cruise through the Med in May. But yeah, let us know if there's something that you want to talk about, or if you want to hear us talk about or elaborate a little bit further on when it comes to that. Whether it's choosing a cruise line or booking your flights or trying to figure out the excursions. So we'll be sharing some more information here in the next few weeks. You'll get the exclusive lowdown on Patreon, which I've changed the password so Taylor doesn't have access to it as I begin to share what our next top secret trip is coming up. I'm super excited about it. So I couldn't risk Taylor knowing, and I felt like I had to share it with somebody.
I'll just wait till the next time you go to Ace Hardware.
So I guess I'm going to have to change the password on my computer as well.
Josh has like a couple passwords he uses. I will figure it out.
I'll have to change the password on there too so she can't get on and figure it out. But she'll find out in the next few weeks anyways. Yeah.
Apparently he wants to narrow down the details so that I don't get excited about it in case it doesn't go through.
Right. But it is, I think it's going to happen. So I'm going to get on later today when Taylor leaves. She's going to go work a few hours. Be perfect time for Josh to... sleep on in there.
I'm gonna set up a nanny cam and
book
here.
A few things. Yeah, good luck with that. So yeah, well, thank you all for listening in. I hope that you enjoyed this episode. If you did, please like and share with somebody else. It helps us out a lot to share out the content. And yeah, we'll look forward to seeing you all in the next one. Or if you're listening in the car, you'll hear us in the next one too.
Goodbye.
Bye, everybody.